Gospel according to Matthew chapter 11 and at verse 28. Come unto me, O ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, O ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, a fortnight ago, in the evening, we preached on or endeavoured to speak on this text, and we considered Christ as a willing Saviour. We took the words, come unto me, and we saw how Christ is willing, most willing to save all who will come unto him. Last Sabbath evening, we considered the same words again, but this time, Christ the able Saviour. We see that all ye that labour and are heavy laden. And when considering Christ as an able Saviour, we consider something of the words of the Apostle himself when he says he is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. He is an able Saviour. This evening we want to look at a third aspect of our text, and that is Christ the successful Saviour. And in that, we want to look at the words, I will give you rest. Now, there are three things that we want to say regarding Christ the successful Saviour. First of all, there is the note of success. He says, I will. You immediately have a note of success ringing in these words. I will. That is the note of success. You, secondly, we wish to see the guarantee of that success. I will give you. I will give you. And then thirdly, the fruit of that success. I will give you rest. So three things. The note of success, the guarantee of success, and the fruit of success. First of all then, let us look at the note of success that is written here. I will. A fortnight ago and last week, we saw two different aspects of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw, first of all, the willingness of Christ. Do you remember the leper that came to him and said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And the Lord said, I will, be thou clean. The question there was the willingness of Christ to cleanse this man. The man himself said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. There was no doubt in his mind of the ability of Christ. It was his willingness. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, I will, be thou clean. But there is the other aspect of it that we saw at the time, that, and we saw last week, that a man may be willing to do something, but if he is not able to accomplish it, then whatever he might will to do will come to nothing. But there was another man that came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and this time it was not Christ's willingness to save sinners and to cleanse at all, but the Lord Jesus gave the man a question. Believest thou that I am able to make you clean? It wasn't there his willingness. It was his ability. And the man said, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art able to do this. And the Lord said to him, well then, be thou cleansed, be thou clean, be it according to thy faith. And he was cleansed. So that in the one hand you have the willingness, the other hand, you have the ability. But once again, willingness and ability does not equal success. We've seen something of that, I think, or if you have the Olympic Games. You look at the Olympic Games and you have someone that's willing, has a great desire to reach that finishing line first. A great desire to win and to succeed. You might also have someone who has ability to succeed. We saw that this year with one, the sight of one young woman running a race, standing beside the road in tears because she had not succeeded. Was it because she did not have the willingness to win? Well, of course she did. She wouldn't be in tears otherwise. And was it because she didn't have the ability? Well, of course she did. She had won many races before that. Indeed, it possibly was expected that she would win and succeed. But her willingness and her ability did not guarantee her the success. She failed. But when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you discover that there's not only the willingness of Christ to heal the leper and all who come unto him. There is not only the ability that he is able to do it when he says immediately, be thou cleansed, and immediately they are cleansed. But when the Lord Jesus here stands and says, come unto me all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will. There is there the very note of success. It's not only that he is able to save, it is also not only that he is willing to save all who come unto him, it is that he will save them, and he will give them rest. Now, we look through the scripture and we find several occasions where the Lord Jesus says, I am. I am the bread of life. I am the door if any man will enter in. I am the water of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So many I ams. But just as there are a number of I ams in scripture, so there are equally a number of I wills in scripture. All that the Father giveth me, he says, shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. There is no doubt. I will give him to drink of the water of life freely. I will give him to drink it. He will ask anything of anything in my name, and I will do it. I will raise him up at the last day. I will come again. I will confess them to the Father, unto the Father, and I will give them a crown of life. I will give unto them eternal life. These I wills are not I might, or perhaps I will try to achieve it. I want it to happen, I'm able to have it happen, and I just will somehow that it might happen. There is nothing of that in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here is a Saviour that will indeed, I will save to the uttermost all who come unto me, and all who come unto God by me. They will be saved. What a wonderful Saviour we have. Many religions in this world will say to you, well, perhaps you'll get this or perhaps you'll get that. But here are the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ when he stands and he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. There is no doubt, no possibly, no perhaps. It's the pledge of none other than the eternal Son of God himself. And look at these promises. These promises, how wide they are. They span life. And they reach out into eternity. They are promises that are given for here and now. When the Lord says, I will give you rest, the very Greek word that is used there is an indicative active. He is doing it. He's not only able to do it, he is doing it. And that rest is a rest that is not only here in time, but it's a rest and a promise that spans into glory itself. I will give them eternal life. There is an eternal rest. There is peace in this world and that which is to come. And let's remember this. First of all, that these promises span life here and now. I will give you now and even into eternity. They are sure, they are not perhaps I will do it. But let us remember who it is that gives this pledge. It is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Do you remember how when the Lord was in this world, and he was crucified and he was put to death. And remember what his enemies said of him. We remember that deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. This is one of the I wills. After 3 days, I will rise again. They said he was a deceiver. And what happened? Jesus rose from the dead. And what does the Apostle Peter say about this being raised from the dead? This promise that he had given to them that he would rise again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. They said of him, this deceiver said he would rise again. But Peter says, he has brought us again to a lively hope. Why? Because what he said, he actually accomplished. He has brought us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The very fact that he has risen from the dead has given the Lord's people a glorious, lively hope. And all these hopes, all that the Lord's people have, they are bound up in Christ because he says, I will. It's not the church that says, I will do this for you. It's not the Lord's people that say, I will do this for you. It's wonderful if the church just says, well, I will try to do this and I will try to do that. There are many things that the church will seek to do in this world and will never achieve it. But it's the Lord Jesus Christ who says, I will. I will do this. And remember what these promises are pledged in his own power when the Lord Jesus has given all power and authority is given unto him in heaven and in earth. Not just as God, but as the mediator. All power and all authority in heaven and in earth is given unto him. Even the judgment day belongs to him, not as God. It's not God the Father who will simply judge, but he has committed all judgment into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. All power and authority is given to him as the mediator, as the God-man, so that God will judge the quick and the dead by his son Jesus Christ, the mediator. And it's this one, the mediator, the one into whose hands all power and authority the Father has given, as the mediator. He says, I will give you this rest. But remember how these promises are not only promises that are given by the Lord Jesus Christ. They are the promises that are given by God the Father himself. Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was at his baptism, the very heaven itself was opened. And the voice from glory declared regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear what he has to say. It doesn't matter what others may tell you, but listen above all to what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, because this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, there's an echo that comes back from glory itself. An echo that comes back from God the Father. They will have rest. They will have rest. Because the Father always heareth and answers what the Son has to say, who intercedes on behalf of the church. So you can begin to see the assurance that we may have this evening. The world may give promises. The world may come and promise you. You might be promised the world. You might be promised everything in this world. But the Lord Jesus Christ comes and says, I will give those who come to me, I will give them rest. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Whatever promises the world may lay before us, and before you tonight, there is no promise that is more sure and more steadfast, a promise that cannot be broken, because the Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator, is not able and willing, but will succeed when he says to you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will. Guaranteed, I will give you rest. But the second aspect of it, if that's setting the note of success, here's the guarantee of success. If it's rest and spiritual rest, if it's peace, how are you going to achieve peace in your life? How am I going to achieve peace and rest, not only for time and for eternity? You look at your own experience. You look at your own life. And you say, the good that I would, I do not. You say to yourself, oh wretched man that I am. You see sin. And you see always a coming short of the glory of God. There can be no success in that. But here is the guarantee of that success. If the note of success is said out, I will. Here it is, the guarantee of that success. I will give you it. You will never earn it. I will bestow it upon you as a gift. That tells us something of
Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, you know it very well. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. The only way you or I could ever have a guarantee of glory, of eternal life, of rest itself from all our burden and from all our labours, is if it is graciously bestowed upon us. And you see how the heart of natural man rebels against the grace of God. We saw that this morning with Joseph and his brethren. The brethren coming in to the presence of Joseph. They don't know who he is. He knows who they are. He's very well of who they are, and he now begins to deal with them. And in chapter 42 of Genesis, how many times? 5 times in these first 10 verses, we are told that they came down into Egypt to buy. To buy, to buy. And as Joseph begins to deal with them, and their conscience begins to be awakened to what the seriousness of what they've done, and they speak one to the other, what have we done to our brother? And they speak one to another, and then Joseph gives them corn, and he puts their money back into the corn, into their sacks all over again. They have to learn. They have to be taught that it's all of grace. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink of the water of life freely. That's how Jesus stands on the last day of the feast. Isn't it wonderful? On that last day of the great feast, Jesus stands and says, oh, everyone, that every man, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. And let him drink freely of the water of life. Do you thirst? Have you a thirst? In a dry parched land, in a desert place, and your soul is thirsting. Maybe you're like the rest of the world. The world doesn't thirst after righteousness, you know. It doesn't thirst after God. The Bible doesn't tell us that men thirst after God. What they thirst of is more of what they've got. They're never satisfied. But what do they thirst after? They simply thirst after more of the same. They get their wage at the end of the month, and they thirst after more. That's why they go every week and spend their money on the lottery. Because what they're thirsting for is more and more and more of the goods of this world. They go out on the Friday night, and what are they thirsting for? They're only thirsting for more of the same. Man by nature's not thirsting after God. He's only thirsting after more of his sin and more of the world. But have you, my friend, been brought to see that you're in a dry parched land and in a desert place? Have you been brought to see that it's just the broken systems of this world that are poison and will never satisfy? And have you been brought the way these brethren of Joseph had been brought to recognize their sin and their need of forgiveness? They were to discover that forgiveness was to be found with the very one that they persecuted. Have you discovered that the very forgiveness is to be found with the Lord Jesus Christ, that the one that tonight the Lord out there persecutes and despises is the very one at whose hands there is forgiveness, mercy, and peace to be found?
And he says, without money and without price. Wonderful. All the covenant promises are covenant mercies. They are covenant mercies that are to be found by him, in him. He has purchased them for them. He has promised it. And they are covenant blessings. It's all of great. That's the wonder of the gospel. That's the good news to a sinner that's burdened with his sin. That's the good news, that Christ Jesus has suffered and died in the room instead of sinners. The good news is that whosoever will come to him will find that he is able to save to the uttermost all who do come to him. And you know, that means if it's all of grace, when the Lord Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give. That means we come as we are. We come with nothing in our hands to that cross. We come and we simply cling to that cross. We come as hell-deserving sinners. And we cry out with another of old, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. Lord, give me rest. Have you cried out, Lord, give me rest? And we receive these blessings as the rivers of streams of water that do make the city of God glad. The Lord says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. I will. It's not once again, perhaps, but I will fill it. The guarantee of the success of the salvation that we have in the gospel is not in you, it's in Christ. That's where the guarantee is. It's not with you, it's the covenant mercies with the covenant head, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he says, come unto me and I will give you it. Without money and without price. The question for us this evening is, have we come to him? But if there is first of all the note of success, and then second, the guarantee of success, then what is the fruit of that success? I will give thee rest. Rest. Do you know what the Bible says? There is no rest for the wicked. There is no rest for the wicked. But when Apostle Paul writes in Hebrews in chapter 4, he speaks of the rest. There is a rest for the people of God. He goes right back into the Old Testament, right back to the creation ordinance. The Lord's Day. God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh. And there is a picture there of the rest for the people of God. And then there was a promise given to the Lord's people of that rest in the land of Canaan. But he says they never entered into that rest. Why not? Because of unbelief. They fell in the wilderness. For 40 years they fell and they never entered into the rest. And it's because the word preached unto them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Therefore they never entered into that rest. And many years later, he says, King David in Psalm 95, that we're going to sing later on, the end of it, he spoke of another rest for the people of God. And that rest is the rest
in Christ.
It's not the seventh day and it's not the rest in the land of Canaan. But David spoke of another rest. It's a rest with God. A rest with God. A rest with God. A rest and a peace where the enmity is removed. And now by his grace we are enabled not to see God simply as a judge, but we're able to say, Abba Father. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Peace of conscience. A peace and a rest that is to be found even in this side of eternity. But not only that, an eternal rest. There is an eternal Sabbath. And it is sweet rest. Imagine Saul in all his turmoil and laboring, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, sat at the feet of Gamaliel. And he was laboring to be right with God. He was even going and getting the papers to go down and persecute the Lord's people, laboring, thinking he was doing God's work, to discover that the very one he persecuted had done it all for him. What sweet rest when his conscience was subdued and he now came and rested in the One. And in Revelation, where he speaks of that success and that guarantee of success and that and the fruit of it, he says, I am being fully persuaded that he which hath promised, he is also able to perform that which he has said. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come to thee as a thief in the night, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. My yoke. It's rabbinical Hebrew language he's using here. Take my yoke, the yoke of the kingdom of heaven. Do we know what it is this evening? To have that rest, which is a rest in Christ. Sweet rest. To repose in him. And to trust your soul into the hands of him who is not only willing to save all who come unto him, who's not only able to save every sinner that calls upon his name, but succeeds with every single one of them. And not one shall be lost whom the Father has given to him. The world looks at the Lord Jesus Christ, and the world may think to itself and try to remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Might once a year think upon this child in a manger and view the Lord Jesus Christ as some good man who came into this world and who was persecuted. Put to death simply that we might have some kind of good example to follow. And they miss altogether what the gospel is all about. They miss altogether the success. I, he says, have overcome the world. He has purchased a salvation at Calvary's cross. And everyone that the Father draweth to him will be saved. Everyone. Do you realize tonight that in the preaching of the gospel, you first of all have a Savior who is willing to save everyone that will come to him? And if you come to him tonight, you will realize just how willing he is to save a hell-deserving sinner such as you are. Do you realize that you have an able Savior? He's able to save to the very uttermost. And do you realize that Christ is a successful Savior? I will. And I will give it. I will give this rest. There is a rest for the people of God. Do you know that rest?